It's time for our regular catch-up with Visionary UK. We look a little bit at the Umbrella Group, and we also hear from one of its collaborative charities as well. Andy Haynes is with us from Visionary UK. Thanks for joining us, Andy.
Nice to speak to you again.
Busy time as always for you guys, because you do a lot of work nationally, I suppose, as an umbrella group, but a lot of discussion with local charities as well, and many of them, especially at the moment, sing from the same hymn sheet.
Obviously, with lockdown 2.0 coming in, the focus has always very much been on supporting local Sarkcross charities to be on the ground and as face-to-face as you can be, whether virtually or in person or over the phone. A lot of information comes out, particularly at the moment around coronavirus. First of all, it was different tiers that we're in, then lockdown 2.0. And a lot of information comes out electronically, so people need to read a lot. And if you have a visual impairment, or maybe you're not that tech savvy, then equally as well, there's a lot of work that we need to do, or really that local sight loss charities are doing in getting that information out to the right people. But what's an excellent thing as well, that we can help as Visionary link through with some of the national messages that are coming out. And we work really quite closely with RNIB, Guide Dogs, Thomas Pocklington Trust, Macular Society and others on getting accessible communication around the national messages out to people on the ground. And local sight loss charities are absolutely crucial in doing that.
And we have with us James Garbutt from Berkshire Vision. James, thank you very much for joining us. Being a grassroots charity again, it must be very busy, challenging in terms of delivering, I suppose, what would be your normal everyday services.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the main way that we would communicate and sort of engage with our members was face-to-face through physical activity, going outside, through sport, face-to-face meetings. So really, the way we had to offer services to our members changed practically overnight, which was a challenge, and luckily we acted quickly, and having the remote services system which we set up was really useful. While obviously it has its challenges in the sense that I think face-to-face will always be the main way that people can communicate the best, it still allows people to sort of talk and to engage and to feel a little bit less lonely in these potentially quite isolating times.
In what ways then have you looked to deliver your services or just keep people in touch with each other and yourselves?
I think the main way was probably for our remote services program, where I think as soon as lockdown was announced, we all kind of sprung into action and created a quite exhaustive list of all these things that we could potentially do, from sort of wine tasting to quiz nights to coffee mornings, just trying to find activities and events that our members could participate in, to, even though they wouldn't be there altogether, they could still be there virtually through sort of the phone or for the telephone. And as the months have gone on, we've added to the list, we've learned from it, as sort of the quiz nights are still very popular and people want it to continue post-pandemic. And it's been a really positive thing. And also through our telephone befriending service, we knew that lots of our members would be restricted to the house. Going into the supermarket would be a struggle, because in this era of social distancing, with a visual impairment, that makes it a million times harder. So through our befriending service, we can have volunteers come in, call our members, and just for a chit chat every week just helps alleviate some of the feelings and symptoms of isolation.
Do you cover quite a big geographical area and you know, different age ranges as well?
We do. We've got children's and young people's and a families group, and also we have sort of all across the ages. We've got to cater our services towards that as well. In the half term, we managed to have sort of some children come into our office and do sort of craft sessions and things like that, and did baking as well, which made the office smell very good. But we also have, for our older sort of spectrum of our members, we've also got sort of good to, they just enjoy coffee morning, and history talks in particular have really drawn in a number of people from across all age brackets.
Andy, James alluding to technology there and accessibility, are your members really finding that people of pretty much all ages are more tech savvy now, or are perhaps looking for more help to get more tech savvy to use things like smart devices?
Advances in accessible technology, whether that be websites and things, have come on leaps and bounds in the last 5 years. So as part of our support for Visionary members, and that support's quite directed at enabling them to support blind and partially sighted people better, we run a tech forum every month. And that's proving extremely popular, and it's quite simply for members to get together and tech experts within the Visionary membership from local SartLoss organisations to share with each other how they and other blind and partially sighted people they work with are using tech, learning to use tech, so that they can access the information that they need.
James, if people would like to learn a little bit more about the work of Berkshire Vision, or perhaps even get involved in volunteering, how would they get in touch?
So the best way would be through sort of our website, berkshirevision.org.uk, or alternatively, we do have a number being 0118 987 2803. We're trying to get more telephone befrienders because as we go into lockdown too, a lot more of our members are having to go back to being in the house and being isolated. So we're trying to get as many people as we can to just call once or twice a week to one of our members and have a chat, and it's been a really great scheme. There's been a huge amount of calls. I mean, over 100,000 minutes have been recorded of phone calls between volunteers to members. We're quite active on social media, on Twitter and Facebook, especially about posting volunteer roles.
A vital service, as you say, James. And thanks to James and to Andy for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.